Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of Delay, Don't Deny, Living an Intermittent Fasting Lifestyle. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting, after learning how to delay my eating rather than deny myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here, so let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 102 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Daniel Hale. Daniel lives in Edison, New Jersey, and he and his wife own a math learning center there after he taught school for 7 years. Welcome, Daniel.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
I'm doing great. So what did you teach for those 7 years? What level, what subjects?
I was always in a high school, and I taught pretty much every subject, calculus all the way down to algebra.
Oh, wow. So all the maths, you got all those.
Yeah.
Well, great. I'm glad that that you found a way to take your teaching, and now you're able to reach people in your on your own terms, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I can understand that after being in the classroom for 28 years. You know, so much of the struggles with teaching are not the teaching, it's the bureaucracy of teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So now I just get to focus on just tutoring and working with students one-on-one. So it's a lot better than I used to have students, 30 students in a class, and it was just crazy.
It really is. So I'm glad that you found a way to keep teaching and to reach kids probably even more effectively in many cases than you could in the classroom.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, definitely I work with less students than I did before, but yeah, I feel like I can be more effective with each one.
Yep, that's right. Well, I know I could talk about teaching forever. One day, maybe I need a teaching podcast. In the meantime, though, I like to start this podcast by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
It's been quite a journey, actually. I mean, as a kid, I was always skinny and never had any weight problems. But then I went to college and stopped being active and playing sports and just kept eating poorly. And all through my 20s and 30s, I mean, I'm 37 now. I just started putting on weight and putting on weight, and pretty much it got into my 30s, and I was like, all right, I got to do something about this. And as many of your other, you know, people on the podcast, I went through all kinds of yo-yo diets.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's a really common story. You know, we hear there are two types of people, I think. The people who went through childhood struggling with obesity or being overweight and have always had that struggle, or people like you and me, I was always skinny too. And then it was college when it really just kind of started shifting, or, you know, it happens later for us. So, but those of us who it happens later to are kind of like really surprised by it, right?
Oh yeah, I had no idea. And I'm a big guy to begin with. I'm 6'4". I was always tall, and then I just started to put on the weight. And yeah, I went through, you know, Weight Watchers, Nutrisystem, all kinds of counting calories and going to the gym obsessively. And it would always work, but never for the long run. I would drop 50 or 60 pounds for, you know, some event. I had my sister's wedding back in 2014. And then after the wedding was over, I gained it all back and then some. So that was the pattern.
Oh yeah. That yo-yo sounds very familiar.
Yeah. So that was a pattern for a long time. And then back in June of 2018, my wife became pregnant with our first child. And I remember I stepped on the scale and the scale would not register.
Oh gosh.
And the max of the scale was 350 pounds.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I know that was like probably a uh-oh moment, right?
Oh yeah. I couldn't believe it. I knew I was over 300, but I did not think that. I was just mortified, honestly. So I said to my wife, I was like, yeah, we're having a child, and I need to be there for the child and be there to play with them and get down and play. And I was like, all right, so I need to do something about this. So I knew that I needed to do something different than what I had done before, because nothing before had ever worked long-term. So I just started listening to podcasts, reading books, and just getting any information that I wanted. I knew it had to be a long-term solution. In the beginning, it just started with giving up soda and just eating all my meals at home. And so I dropped some weight, a little bit of weight. And it, you know, the scale started to register. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I was still in the 340s, though, so I had a long way to go. But yeah, and then in July, everything really changed of 2018. We found out that our daughter had what was called trisomy 18, which is a genetic disorder that most babies don't even make it to term, and the ones that don't live for very long. So that was a pretty traumatic thing.
Absolutely.
That happened. So my first, you know, thought was like, oh, well, screw this health journey. Like, what's the point if I'm never going to, you know, get to meet this daughter, or, you know, so all these things went through my head. But then me and my wife talked about it, and we had a name, Bridget, we picked out to name her. And we thought about whether we would use the name or not. And then my wife said, you know, whatever we do for any child, we need to do for her, regardless of, you know, how long she's here for. So I just was like, well, then that's true about my health journey. Like, if I was going to, you know, get in shape for another child, I have to do it for her. So it kind of just started me. I kept going. And it was, I guess, the fall of 2018 when I started to just hear about this intermittent fasting on several different podcasts. I hadn't discovered yours yet, but I had heard about it, and it sounded a little strange to me. I was like, wait, you just don't eat? Like, I don't get that. Like, and I thought of it probably how many people do, as like, oh, I'm starving myself. But so I just started it, and I really only did it like one day a week. I would just skip breakfast. And I know some people dive right into it, but I didn't. I kind of eased my way into it, which is part of the reason why I think I was successful. But yeah, so I just did it one day a week. And then after a month, I remember telling my wife, you know, the day that I do that is the day I feel best. So I just started doing it every day.
You know, I really love that you were kind of dipping that toe in there. And because it sounded weird, which I totally get, especially in 2018, people weren't talking about it as much as they are now. But I love that you made the connection that you felt better that one day a week, because then you're like, okay, maybe I can do this 7 days a week, right?
Yeah. So then I jumped into it. And that was about the time that I was like, all right, I'm going to really, again, I had just heard it on different health podcasts about this intermittent fasting. I think it was starting to become a bigger deal. So that's when I just did a search, and I found your other podcast.
The Intermittent Fasting Podcast with Melanie Avalon.
Yes,
that one, yep.
Yes, Yes. So I was like, all right. I just started from the beginning, and that's like the only podcast I listened to for months. I don't think this one, The Stories, was out yet. I feel like that was a little later.
Yeah, that one started, I think that one started November 1st, perhaps, of 2018. So it was in its infancy at that point.
Yeah, so I hadn't discovered that yet. So I was listening to the other one and learning as much as I could about it. And I started doing it 7 days a week. And I started to figure out like what I was doing was a 16-8. And I started to, you know, learn all the lingo and all that. And I just became kind of committed to it. And it helped me through that first holiday season. I feel like it was much easier since I was kind of able to just skip breakfast. And even though, I mean, I typically do a low carb diet, but even if I felt during the holidays that I wasn't eating exactly the way I normally eat, I was still able to do intermittent fasting.
And was the weight loss happening for you at that time?
Yes. So basically what happened was it was all the way then until my daughter, Bridget, was born in February 18th, 2019. And I had lost about 60 pounds to that point. So it was really working. Everything that I was doing was going really well. And she was born, and we were actually able to bring her home from the hospital. They really only expected her to live, you know, a couple days in the hospital. We were able to bring her home, and she ended up living for 31 days. And then, you know, she passed away in our home on March 21st of 2019.
Oh, gosh. We're recording this in March of 2020. So really, that was just your anniversary of that was just a few days ago.
Yes. I can talk about it. I did something for her on her anniversary.
That's oh, gosh, related. Yeah.
But yeah, so after, you know, obviously it was devastating, but we learned a lot from her. We learned a lot from the experience. And again, I had gained a little weight back while she was here for the 31 days. We were basically just bound to our apartment, just taking care of her. And we had a lot of good moments with her, and we're still grateful that we got the 31 days.
Absolutely.
And I kind of did stick to the intermittent fasting as much as I could. I mean, we had a lot of family visiting, and they would bring all kinds of, you know, food and cakes and all kinds of stuff. And sometimes I didn't stick to it, but for the most part I did. So, and then after she passed away for a couple of weeks, I didn't obviously really think about it, but then it really wasn't that much after. It was April 1st that I decided to honor her with I would do these things called Bridget challenges.
Yeah.
And I would choose something to either give up or do for 31 days. And my very first Bridget challenge was to do a 18-6 for 31 straight days.
You know, I love that so much. The 31 days to honor the 31 days that she was with you. And I also love the language that you're using to describe this so heartbreaking yet beautiful time of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was devastating, but at the same time, she brought us so much and we wanted to honor her. And it's part of the reason that I want to do this podcast, because honestly, I just want as many people to know about Bridget and have her life mean as much as possible.
Right.
So yeah, so I did that. And my very first challenge was because I remember I was kind of doing it off and on, but obviously there was a lot going on in my life at the time. And most days I was just naturally doing the intermittent fasting anyway. But I started to get a little bit away from it. And I was like, you know what, I need to get back to that. And I really need to get back to this health journey, because I gained a little weight back. So I was probably down about 50 pounds net at this point. And then April 1st, from then until now, I mean, I think I've done intermittent fasting pretty much every day, and I've graduated to the 24, and then now where I live is basically, usually it's a 20 and then a 4 hour window, but I switch it up a lot. I have more, sometimes I do early afternoon. It depends on my tutoring schedule, but I've gotten really into it now where I can almost do it I still track it. I like to track a lot of things, but I can pretty much do it effortlessly. And really, in the end, now I'm down 130 pounds total.
Wow, that is really amazing.
Yeah, so I just hit 225, and I started. I like to say that I started at 355, but I don't actually know my starting weight because the scale wouldn't register.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably good. Maybe it was higher, but it doesn't matter because you could just go with that number. And gosh, I imagine you feel so much better.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's totally different. So yeah, actually, the things that I'm able to do now, last week was the anniversary of Bridget's passing. And I, in her honor, again, with this number 31, and I'm a math person, so I'm really into numbers.
Oh, yeah, numbers are important. I get it.
I'm like obsessed with the number 31 now. So actually, last week, I walked 31 miles on the anniversary of her passing as a way to honor her.
On one day, you walked 31 miles in one day. Wow.
Yeah. And you would be really happy to know I actually did the entire thing fasted.
Wow. That is also very impressive.
Yeah. I started at 6 a.m. and I would never eat that early. So I just started it, you know, and I had a backpack and I did it. It took me about almost 9 hours and I just basically did it straight. And I had a backpack with food in there, a couple snacks that just in case. And I got about halfway through it. My wife met me and gave me shoes to change into, to change out of. And she's like, oh, do you need to eat? And I was like, no, I feel great. I'm just going to keep going. And then I planned with about 5 miles left to stop. And so I did. I stopped and drank some water. But I was just like, you know what? I feel fine. Like, I'm just going to keep going. And I've been doing intermittent fasting for such a long time. I can tell, like, when I really need to eat.
Right.
And I thought walking for that long, for 9 straight hours, I just didn't. When I was finished on the way home in the car, I, you know, had my snack, but yeah, I was surprised myself that I didn't need to eat during this entire walk. I felt great.
That's the power of being fat adapted. I mean, your body knows how to find the fuel for energy. Your body found it and you felt fabulous the whole time. I think everybody who's worried, you know, they're not going to be able to go to the gym could certainly learn something from listening to that. I'm very impressed. 31 miles, gosh.
Yeah, I was, you know, my legs were sore. I had blisters and I relaxed for a couple of days. But as far as eating goes, I was shocked. And then, yeah, I ate a snack on the way home. And then that night I had a huge dinner as I normally do. But yeah, I was surprised that I was able to, because I don't normally eat until a little later anyway. So this wouldn't have been in my window, but I just assumed, you know, walking for that long that I would get hungry. But no, I wasn't. And
I think most people would. They'd be like, I'm going to get all shaky. I'm going to collapse. But you just kept going, kept feeling great.
Yeah. And I kind of knew there were certain times when I needed something. And I guess just from doing the intermittent fasting for a year and a half now, I knew that what I needed was just to drink some water. And I had electrolytes in my water the whole time. So I knew.
Oh, that's good.
I just knew what I needed. And I definitely didn't need to eat. And I actually at one point felt like I was questioning whether I should do it or not. Because I think there was kind of this thing in my brain that was saying, you need to eat. This is crazy. And I was just like, no, I feel fine. And I feel like if I did eat, it would have been more difficult to get walking again.
I think you're right, because if you had eaten, then your body would now have, you know, started to shift over to the blood glucose for fuel. And then it would have been possibly more difficult to shift back.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was great. It was a great, you know, experience. And now I know that I really definitely know that the intermittent fasting is working, especially if I can go 31 miles in 8-9 hours and not have to eat.
And literally, like, you could do anything. If you could do that, you could do anything.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how I just feel about the intermittent fasting. Because I remember at first, the first day I did the intermittent fasting, I had a headache. And I remember thinking, like, this is really difficult. But once you get into it, it makes you feel like you could do anything. Because you're just like, you know, even when I open my window early, I never make myself feel bad anymore. I had a period where I would make myself feel bad if I would close my window, you know, or open my window, you know, a little early. But now I don't at all. And if I do, I still look at it and I'm like, even when I stop it kind of early, it's still 17, 18 hours. Like, that's still a long time. And it's just changed my whole perspective on pretty much everything.
It's because you're, you know, so far in, you're a year and a half in, and it's such a lifestyle now that you realize it's okay. It's okay to shift it. It's okay to have a shorter fast this day, because if you're eating earlier one day, you'll probably have a slightly longer fast the next day, and it all evens out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's kind of where I live now. I still, like I said, I like to track it. I'm a math person. I like to track all the data and what I'm eating and everything, but I definitely don't obsess over it. I just use an app that tells me how long, you know, I've fasted for, and that's it. And some days it's 16 hours. Most days it's more than 20. And some days, based on my tutoring schedule, I'll open it at 11 in the morning and close it at 3. And then the next day I wait until dinner. So I just get a 24, 25, 26 hour fast in. But I don't try. It just kind of happens. It's just the way it is now.
And you don't obsess over the number. You just track it because math is fun. I totally get that.
Yeah,
I love data.
Me too.
I really love data.
Yeah, I like to track. And when you have these apps, they track how many days in a row that you've done something.
Right.
So since I've been using this app, I think it's at like 150 days. And I just like the fact that it keeps going up. So I just keep tracking it. Whether I really use it for data anymore, I just kind of like that I just keep going and going and going.
Well, you know, I still have all the data from the window app that my son made for me. And, you know, because he's mathy, that's what he does. You know, he loved statistics. He's his mama's boy. I did a quantitative dissertation when most people in the educational field like to do qualitative research. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I'm doing quantitative numbers. Yeah, I love numbers. You know, I never updated the app now that it's changed ownership. So I still have it all in the old format that Cal made for me. And I do every now and then someone will say something and I'll go back and I'll look at my data from like 2016, and you can look at it with different, you know, in different ways. And it's just really interesting because it reminds me what I was doing at that period of time. And it's not that I want to live and die by the numbers, like you said, but it just reminds you, oh, that's what I was doing then. Oh, this is what was happening. And it just puts it in perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I like it, because sometimes you forget kind of where you've come from. And I'm so used to now, I live life at a much lower weight and I'm in very, very good shape now. And I do these 20-hour fasts regularly. And sometimes if you get away from that, you think that, oh God, I'm not doing a good job anymore. But then I look back to a year ago and I'm like, wow, like I never did a 20-hour fast a year ago. And so even now, if I only do a 17-hour, it's still, and it really isn't even about just doing longer fasts is even better, but it's just, you see your data from a year ago and you're like, wow, I've come a really long way. So that's another reason why I like to track the data for really the future, to look back.
And you could also use it for troubleshooting. For example, you know, we've had people that are like, gosh, I've all of a sudden stopped losing weight, or I'm slowly gaining a little weight. But if you have the data, you can look and see, and you can be like, oops, you know what? My windows have started to get longer. And you can see that by looking at the data. When you, maybe you don't realize your window has crept a little longer, but if you've got the data, there it is. You know, people think they're being consistent, but then they look back and they realize maybe they weren't.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Your memory is definitely not as good as you think it is. So it's,
I think you're right. Yeah.
To have that. Yeah. To look back. Yeah. And again, yeah, just liking numbers and liking data. It's just a lifestyle thing. I like to know how many hours and how many, even though I don't count calories in the way of like, I don't restrict calories. I actually eat quite a lot of calories each day, but I definitely track them every day just because I like to work with numbers and I like to know what's going on.
Yeah, I get that a lot of people do. And so for anybody who doesn't feel restricted by that information, like for me, I struggled with a diet mindset and counting for so long. And I would always look at, like, if I decided I'm going to start counting my calories, first of all, it's hard. But if I did, I would start worrying, oh my gosh, today I ate too much. Or I would start worrying, oh my gosh, I didn't eat enough. So for me, it makes more sense not to. But I totally understand if you really love numbers. It's just data. If you just can think of it as data, then more power to you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like someday I would like to just get away from all that and just not think about it anymore. But I still do. I still think about it a lot, but I definitely stress over it a lot less than I did, especially in the beginning.
Well, you know,
it's really just numbers.
It's just like the scale. You know, sometimes people think that I don't want anybody to weigh, and that could not be farther from the truth. There are some people who I think need to weigh daily. They need to, you know, like they need that feedback. I was one of those people when I was losing weight, I needed to weigh every day. And thank goodness for, you know, the weekly averaging that helped me see the overall trend. You know, as a math guy, you know, it's only the trend that matters.
Yeah.
But I needed to weigh the entire time I was losing weight to hold me accountable. And then I weighed the entire first year of maintenance as well, because it just really helped me to see what was going on.
Yeah, I weigh every morning. First thing I do when I wake up is I weigh, and I have a digital scale, and then it syncs into my phone, and I look at it and I see, but I worry less about, am I continuing to lose weight? It's, again, it's just a numbers thing. And I like to just see what it is. And I try all different things. So, I mean, I do strength training now. So sometimes I'm actually trying to put a little bit of weight on. So it's not always that I'm necessarily trying to always lose weight either. So I just like to always know how much I weigh every morning. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe years from now, I would get to a point where I don't weigh anymore. But right now, it seems to be working for me.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing. Everybody needs to know themselves and whether weighing is serving you in a positive way, or it could be neutral, or it could actually be a negative. It started to become a negative for me, which is when I stopped, because I started thinking about, well, if I'm going to weigh, should I eat this? And then I was like, no, that's crazy. Forget it. But it's just important to know yourself. So I have a question for you. Are you at what you would consider your goal weight, goal size? I know you mentioned you're trying to actually put on some muscles. So of course, that'll reflect in weight, quote, gain. But we know, exactly, we know it's not fat gain, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so yeah, I'm definitely, I mean, I've been doing a lot of resistance training the whole time. So I'm always trying to put on muscle. But yeah, I don't know. I'm actually at a point, in the beginning, my goal was to lose 150 pounds. So I'm not there. I'm 20 pounds from that. But I've kind of changed my mentality. I'm trying not to think that I just need to get to that weight, because I don't know if that would be the best weight for me. Like I said, I'm 6'4". I don't know if 205 would be the best weight. So I'm just trying to let everything kind of play itself out. And I'm just continuing to do the intermittent fasting and strength training and eating well. But I am tracking my weight because I am curious to know. I'm actually more curious at this point, like, do I really have 20 pounds to lose? I mean, I feel like I definitely have fat to lose. I have still have a little bit of my midsection that I would like to get rid of, but I don't know if that would, you know, necessarily be 20 pounds worth. I have no idea. I just had this goal in the beginning that was like, oh, 150 sounds like a nice number.
It is a nice, that's the same exact way I picked a number out of the blue when I started. I want to lose 75 pounds. That was my goal. When I weighed 210, 75 pounds would put me at 135. And it just was a nice round number. 135 seemed good. Then I got there and I'm like, oh, I still have some fat to go. So I kind of changed that goal a little bit and went on to lose a little more and even lose more fat. But you know, how has your size changed? Like your waist size? I bet that's been a huge change.
So yeah, so I know I used to shop at a big and tall store.
Well, you're still tall.
I am, but I am actually, that was a pretty big like non-scale victory when me and my wife could go to Target and I could just buy jeans.
That's awesome.
So I started at, it was I think a 48, 34, and then I now wear a 36. And I have a pair of, basically what I've done is I would always buy a pair, like I would go down by like 2 inches, let's say.
Right.
So if I bought, say, 38, I would also buy a 36 and just put it in my drawer as like a, as a goal. So right now I wear 36s, but I have a 34 that I think I'm probably close to. I just haven't thought about it. Now that I think about it, maybe later I'll try those on. But I'm focusing more on that again than my weight, because I don't, you know, just listening to all the people you've interviewed, and I listen to all kinds of podcasts. I don't want to start restricting myself and do anything extreme just to get to 205, because it's just a made up number. But I'm definitely still, even though I've been 225, 230 for probably 4 months now, and I've continued to go down in my waist in what the jeans that I wear.
See, that is so important. I want people to get that really, really into their heads. And probably podcast listeners are more likely to, if they've listened to a lot of the episodes, they probably get this. But I would like to download this information into the head of every person, because you could be complaining, I'm on a plateau. I've been on a plateau for 4 months. What's wrong with me? I need to lose 20 more pounds. But instead, you're recognizing, I'm continuing to get smaller. It's okay that the scale is not moving because my pant size is continuing to change. And that is so important.
Yeah. And I definitely would not have had that mentality when I first started out. If I had this happen a year ago, I think I would have been devastated. But I think just getting all the information, listening to the podcast and hearing other people go through this, you know, ahead of where you are is just so helpful, which is why I love this podcast, because I really have learned so much from other people that I kind of went into this knowing like, all right, I'm going to hit a plateau, and that doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. And so I even before I probably would have normally, I started really focusing on my jean size and things like that. So that's really helped me in the past couple of months to not, there has been a part of my brain that's just like, oh, your weight's not going down. But then I have another part that's like, look, that's not a problem. Your waist size is going down. I'm definitely looking differently. I'm building muscle in different places. So it's just to have those things to pay attention to is just a thanks to other people that I've heard go through this before me.
And I love your strategy, and I wish everyone would do it. The strategy of buying the pair of jeans that fits you today and the next size down, because you really can tell, you know, if the scale is not moving for 4 months, but you've gone down into these next goal pants, then you know that something's happening. So everybody do that. Use that as your gauge. I mean, there's so many ways you can judge progress, but people tend to get stuck on the ones that are not changing and they ignore the ones that are.
Yeah. So I think that that's the thing that I've taken away from other people is the, and what I've done in the past, all the other times, the four or five other major times when I lost 40, 50, 60 pounds and then gained it all back. Every one of those times, the only thing I was tracking ever was weight.
Right.
And this time from the beginning, just learning from other people, I've been taking measurements. I've taken pictures. I have pictures dating all the way back to the beginning, and I've done them pretty much monthly. And even there was a time when I only lost like maybe 5-6 pounds. And my wife was like, you know, it's been a while since we've taken a picture. And I was like, oh, but I've only lost like 5 pounds. It really isn't a big deal. And she was like, oh no, let's just take the pictures anyway. And we did. And we compared them to the pictures before. And I looked totally different after just 5 pounds. It was crazy.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it reminds me of my own journey. This is how stupid my thinking was early on. I remember spring of 2015 when I was approaching my goal weight, that 135 magic number that I had in my head. I think that was when I got the vibration plate right around that same time. And I remember starting to use it. And I thought to myself, well, if this thing makes me build muscle, it might make me gain weight. I don't want to gain weight. I can't do this right now. I'm trying to lose weight. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. It's
that was me.
I mean, I know. I look back to so many things. Like right now, it sounds like, oh, he's saying the right things and he knows what he's doing now. But I didn't for such a long time.
I didn't either.
Every time I would start a weight loss journey, just like everybody else, it was always on a Monday or it was always January 1st. And I would always start by going to the gym and just doing like cardio for 90 minutes every day.
Right.
And I didn't ever do strength training because I was same thing. I was concerned that if I gained muscle, then I wouldn't be losing weight. So I thought in my head, it was just like, okay, let's do cardio for like 6 months. Let's just drop a lot of fat and then I'll build back up with muscle. And it's just, I can't even believe that that was my thought process because it makes no sense at all now that I actually understand how healthy.
My goal was to, I mean, you know, like I said, this was 2015. So it's over 5 years ago. But I really was caught up in that. All I wanted was to see that number on the scale. And I swear I almost would have cut a limb off just to see that number. I'd be like, look, I'm at my goal. I don't have a hand. But I mean, you know, I mean, of course, that's just not really what I would have done. But my thinking was almost that crazy. Like I would have gladly lost muscle if it meant I reached my goal weight, which was ridiculous.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of where I stumbled on to the intermittent fasting because of Bridget, because of future children that we're going to have, I was looking at more longevity than just weight loss. So I think that's kind of why it was like the intermittent fasting is really for longevity, not necessarily weight loss. So that's where the intermittent fasting comes in. And that's where my mentality was. I've done for this journey starting in June of 18, I did resistance training from day one.
I've
continued to lose weight. Like I've never gained weight because of that, because it's not exactly how it works. And I was looking at, I want to build up my muscles so that I could live long. And who cares if that stunts any weight loss, but it actually didn't stunt the weight loss because again, that's not really how it works. So
exactly
this thing in my head that was just untrue for many, many years.
So, you know, circling back to Bridget, how has life changed in this year with your family?
So basically, I had left teaching before Bridget. So I had left teaching and focused on just tutoring. And I was doing a lot of in-home tutoring. And I started my own tutoring business. But my wife was working a job that was, you know, just something that she didn't really enjoy. And she just punched the clock and went there every day. And after Bridget passed, it was just after everything we went through, she was just like, you know what? It's not worth living life that way. I want to find something that makes me happy. And I myself wanted to turn this into a learning center, my business. So my wife quit her job and just, we opened this learning center. And it's kind of in honor and a memory of Bridget. We have a little plaque there with Bridget's face on it and her story. And we now have this math learning center that we run. And it's changed just, you know, living life in a whole different way, that between the intermittent fasting and all these different things I do with my health. I just live a much happier life, a lot less stressed than before. And we're both now working together and we're just doing kind of what we love. And, you know, we kind of owe that all to Bridget, because I think when you go through something like that, you really take inventory of what's important in life. And the most important thing is kind of being healthy and being happy.
Well, what I love so much is that this brought y'all closer together. You know, so often,
if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories.
Losing a child can mean the end of a marriage. But yes. Instead, it sounds like the two of you have really, you came together in the hard time, and gosh, working together, I don't know if I could work with my husband. So y'all are pretty amazing.
Yeah, it works out well. We don't actually, she takes care of the whole business side and I'm always tutoring. And it's actually nice because I love teaching math and all, but I don't like asking people for money and how much they owe me and raising my rates and all that stuff kind of makes me uncomfortable. And it's easy for her to do it. So it's kind of easy. It's allowed me to grow my business because of the things that I'm not that great at, she is really good at. So it's kind of worked out well for us.
Your skill sets complement one another then, it sounds like.
Exactly. So it's just kind of, we were kind of lucky in that extent. And then, yeah, it definitely has brought us closer together. And, you know, once I started doing the intermittent fasting, she started doing the intermittent fasting, and she she had to stop the intermittent fasting because she's now pregnant. And
I knew that was coming. Yeah, so I was waiting for that.
Yeah. So we're having another daughter who's due, this year. And so she had to stop it. But the great thing for her is, you know, while she's always tracked her weight and everything, because she's always struggled. She's actually struggled with her weight her whole life, all through childhood. And she, all these yo-yo diets that I talked about were always, we did them together. So our weights fluctuated together. So anybody who's known us for a long time knew that we were gaining weight together or losing weight together. Like everything, it was, we always did it together. So when I got on this journey in the beginning, she wasn't able to lose weight because she was pregnant with Bridget.
Right.
And then after Bridget passed, she did jump on the intermittent fasting bandwagon, and she lost a good amount of weight herself. And She actually just looked. She's right now, she's 60 pounds less than she was at the same time that she was pregnant with Bridget.
That's awesome.
So she's, you know, lost a lot of weight, but that's obviously on hold. But it's kind of like I'm holding down the fort. I'm continuing with the intermittent fasting. So, and that's what I mean. Like, we always do things together. So when she's done nursing with the new baby girl, she'll be, you know, ready to jump back on. And she wanted me to share this, that the first couple of weeks after she found out she was pregnant, it was really difficult for her to go back to eating, you know, all day long.
Oh, yeah. We hear that from pregnant women. Yeah.
Yeah. She's used to it now, but she still says she misses it. It's so crazy because she's jealous that I get to not eat all morning.
Right.
And it's such a weird mentality because we lived our whole life being jealous that the other one was eating. And so then we would have to eat. And now she's actually jealous that I don't have to eat. And she's looking forward to when she can kind of join me again on the intermittent fasting. So for her.
So how far along is she in the pregnancy?
She's about 6 months. She's just about to enter her third trimester.
The third. Yep. Well, congratulations to y'all. And I knew this story from the Facebook group. So
yeah, thank you.
Because you shared it there, but I was trying to nudge you to this part because that's the part that is such a beautiful part to the story. You know, second daughter, but you're honoring Bridget so much.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing is that I'm so glad when I look back and when I was pretty, you know, I was pretty angry when I found out about that we were going to have a daughter that may not live very long and it's not a good thing to hear. And my first thought was like, oh, well, who cares if I lose weight or not? But I'm just so glad that I got back on it because now I'm so much better off for this daughter that's coming. I'll have no issues playing with her and teaching her health, you know, positive health habits and positive body image and all that stuff that I can now share with her because of what I went through before. I'm so much more ready for this new child because of Bridget and because of everything that we've been through. So
this daughter will see you at a healthy weight. She'll see you vibrantly active. She'll see you aging well. She'll see you not obsessed with weight. She'll see you enjoying food instead of being dieting all the time. I mean, what a gift to give your daughter.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and that's the thing. And I'm just so happy. You know, it was just so funny that my wife is jealous of me not eating. And
right.
It's the opposite. Like when she eats breakfast, we sit at the table in the morning and do, you know, our normal morning routine and she'll eat her breakfast and I don't eat. I just work and do things. And she's actually jealous of me not eating. And sometimes she eats and she just makes this face like, I can't believe I have to eat this.
Well, I'm glad she's eating because we do have the recommendation for pregnant women not to do intermittent fasting. And sometimes people are like, well, if I don't feel like eating, do I have to eat? And we do recommend Dr. Cecily Ganhart was on the podcast, gosh, a while back, over a year ago, I think now. Mm-hmm. And she's a OBGYN who does intermittent fasting herself. And she does say, if you're pregnant, you need to eat because you're nourishing the baby. And we also just don't have the research on fasting and pregnancy that would support it. And we never will because they would never do that research with pregnant women. It would be unethical. So because of that, we do want you to eat more. So I'm glad your wife is listening to that. And the same with nursing.
Absolutely. And I think I learned that from that podcast. I actually remember that. And you know, what would I know? I'm a man. I have no idea about those things. I would have thought in my head, the way it works, I would have just thought, like, why not? Just keep doing it. And I'm glad that I could give her the advice and say, like, look, I learned on this podcast that when you do get pregnant, because I think we were trying at the time, and I was just like, when you do get pregnant, like, you're going to have to stop because I keep hearing from all these women on these podcasts that's saying that it's definitely something that you shouldn't even experiment with and you should just go put it on hold. And so we knew that going in. So my wife is following that advice and she's reluctantly following the advice. But it's just so funny because she would have, years ago, she would have never thought that she would want to skip breakfast and want to eat in a condensed window. It just, we would have never thought that that would be the way that you would live your life. It's just crazy.
Yeah. And even with nursing, sometimes people, you know, who paused the intermittent fasting for pregnancy and then they want to get back on it with nursing because they'll try it and they'll say, well, my supply is good. You know, why should I not do intermittent fasting because my baby is having plenty of food? But For me, you know, all the doctors who support intermittent fasting suggest that you not do it while you're nursing. For me, I remember when I was pregnant, when I was attempting to nurse, and I wanted my baby not just to do fine, I wanted my baby to get the very best. And so if I, even though, you know, you're producing plenty of milk, maybe your baby is growing, but maybe you're missing some things that your baby could have had. Maybe it's not as optimal as it could have been. So that's just always my thinking. I would err on the side of caution 100% because there's a lot more going on in the body than just the fact that you're able to supply milk. You want it to be the best milk possible for that baby.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, we're not taking any chances. And that's kind of this whole intermittent fasting thing has why it's worked as opposed to all the other things that I've tried is because this is for the long term. And I'm looking at this is just how I live the rest of my life. And so is my wife. So when we looked at it, she was as reluctant as she was. And I mean, she didn't have much of a choice. She was just starting to get super hungry earlier when she was pregnant. Yep. So she just kind of had to eat.
Her body told her.
Even though she was reluctant to do it. But she knows, and we talked about it, and it's like we're doing this for the rest of our lives. So when you look at the life as a whole, not doing intermittent fasting now and then while she's nursing and then getting back to it, like most of your life, the rest of your life is still going to be spent doing this thing that you know is healthy for you. So it's just looking at the big picture and knowing that, you know, we're doing this for the rest of our lives. So it's not a big deal to interrupt it for a year.
So this is a tiny blip.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's just a blip.
Well, it's also like the people who are like, oh no, I have to take an antibiotic with food for 10 days. I'm going to have to stop. We're like, all right, 10 days. You can do it. 10 days. You know, and your wife, a year. She can give it up for 1 year. It's just a tiny, even a year is tiny in the scheme of things.
Yes, it is. It is. And that's the whole different outlook that this has given me that's allowed me to kind of take my time losing weight. I used to try to drop 40 pounds in 2 months. And if I didn't,
it
was a failure. And now looking at, you know, when I had weeks where I would either stay the same, I would think about, you know, as I got further into it, it'd be like, look, this is for your whole life. This isn't that big of a deal. You've got the rest of your life. So even if I do eventually get to 205, even if that doesn't happen for 3 years, like it still could happen. And I don't even know if that's the best weight. Again, it's just a made up number, but I'm definitely looking at it for the long term, and I'm much better off where I am now at 37 than I was at 35.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I also know that your body is going to find an equilibrium at something that probably feels really good to you, whatever that may be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what at this point, I'm just going to let it.
Yeah, that's what I think too. And so, you know, I don't know what I weigh, but I know that my clothes fit and I know that my body is happy in this range where I am, whatever that may be. So it's forever, and it's freeing for somebody who used to be on that yo-yo.
Oh, absolutely. The freedom from it has just been, I mean, I can't even put it into words. It's just been, and to not have to think about. So when I first started this, I was driving to, you know, I would have like 4 or 5 clients and I was driving to all their homes in between. And when I first started, even though I was eating well and I was making all my food at home, I wasn't doing intermittent fasting yet. I was packing like containers and containers, and the food prep was just ridiculous. I had this huge cooler that would have 4 or 5 meals in it. And it was all good, healthy food, and I was losing weight, and it was working for that time. But I just got so sick of it. And now it's amazing where I can just not even think about it. I was like, oh, I'm only eating dinner tonight. Oh, this is nice. I just leave for the day and I make dinner when I get home. I don't have to worry about packing all these different containers and doing all these dishes. It's just so much. It's very freeing.
That is so true. When we just moved last August, I had this in my downstairs closet. I had this whole section that was like all the things I used to carry my lunch in back in the day. I mean, I had monogrammed lunch bags and large monogram bags and small monogram bags and containers. And those were all the things I would take my lunch to school in. I mean, I had them for every season and different decor. I mean, it was really comical. I threw all those away. It was great. I was like, nope.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But all the time I used to spend worrying about what I was going to take to school. I remember like if I accidentally forgot to bring my lunch, I would be panicked like, oh no, what am I going to do? You know, back in the pre-IF days, then it got to the point where all I needed was a purse big enough to throw a San Pellegrino in and I'm good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's crazy. I look back, I never did intermittent fasting while teaching, but I like to think how much easier it would have been, because I remember I would have a snack in between periods. And then when I had my lunch, I would eat a pretty big lunch. And I always knew that my afternoon classes were not getting the best Mr. Hale that the morning classes were. And I was always tired and dragging, especially last period. And I would come home and eat, and then I would eat dinner. And now I think about the last high school I taught at, we were done by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, I just would wake up and go to work. I would never pack any food. And then I would think of my lunch hour, I would just get to work.
It's true. So productive during lunch.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The last year I taught, I didn't even go to the teacher workroom anymore. My lunchtime didn't sync up with people that were on my hall, but I just worked through lunch every single day.
Yeah. So I never got to enjoy that. And who knows, maybe someday I'll end up teaching again. And that's definitely how I would do it. It'd be easy. I would just wait till I got home from school to eat. And I feel like I'd be so much more productive. And I've heard other teachers on the podcast mention that. And it made me think about it. And I was just like, but now it fits. My lifestyle now is so different. I don't always have a set schedule. I work almost every day. And my Tuesday schedule is so different than my Thursday schedule. So the intermittent fasting makes it just so easy to just be like, okay, well, where can I fit in my main meal? Because I usually have, I think I'm like you, I have a snack and then a meal. So I definitely, I think about where can I fit in a snack? Where can I fit in a meal? And that's a lot of times just different times every day because my schedule is so different.
Yeah, I think that's great. You're making it fit your life instead of trying to fit your life around it.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Everybody talks about its flexibility, and that's what is so great about it. Because it doesn't, even though I usually do a 24, I don't do a 24 at the same times every day because it just doesn't fit my life. And I feel like the old me would have been like, oh, well, if I can't sustain that, then it's not worth doing. But now I know that it doesn't have to be the same schedule every day.
Absolutely. So you mentioned earlier that you were kind of low carb-ish. Are you still low carb-ish?
Yeah. I've experimented with keto, paleo, all that stuff in the beginning. And I kind of have just landed on pretty much just low carb. Doesn't mean I won't ever have, birthday cake or anything like that. But for the most part, I lower carb. I don't always eat low enough to whatever they consider keto. But
right.
I make keto meals. I stay away from a lot of like breads and grains and stuff, but mostly, yeah, it's just low carbs. It's a lot of veggies and a lot of meat. And I just usually have these huge feasts for my dinner. I snack on some nuts and some things like that. But yeah, for the most part, it's low carb.
Because that's probably just how you really feel your best, right?
Yeah, it is. And then if I go off a low carb or I don't always get to exercise, like I always look at intermittent fasting as like my anchor. Like even right. If everything falls by the wayside, like I can always intermittent fast.
That's very true. Yeah, we've still got that. What you eat can change, but the fasting is the consistent part that keeps going.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Does your wife also do a little low carb-ish or is she more flexible with that?
A little bit, but since she, especially through the first trimester, she started craving,
oh, yeah.
some different things. So she, she tries.
Baby needs grains. Baby, baby was asking for that. Yeah,
she does have like some bread in the morning, and she eats a little differently than when she was eating low carb. But yeah, we're not really married to anything specifically. But yeah, that just makes me feel my best. But I don't even really tell that I am that. The main thing for me is just the intermittent fasting. But when I do eat, it tends to be, like I said, just veggies and some dairy and meat. And that's basically my diet.
Now, we've talked a lot about the weight loss, but besides the huge amount of weight loss, have you had any positive health changes that you know of?
Basically, a lot of it is just the clarity. I feel like I'm a lot more productive. I get most of my work done when I'm fasting, and I don't take breaks to eat or anything, and I get much more done. But luckily for me, even though I was 355 pounds, I hadn't really experienced health issues yet. I definitely was heading that way. I mean, my blood work numbers are great now, and like I said, dropping like pant sizes and stuff. But as far as I don't know, I was very fortunate that I kind of got this before it became too bad. I didn't have any health issues beforehand, but I overall just feel great.
Yeah, but it's probably you were going down that road. But yeah, you're 37 now, so you were what, 35, 36 when you started. Yeah. So yeah, you got it in time. That's really exciting.
I did. And diabetes runs in my family. So I was definitely heading down that road. So I kind of got it beforehand. But yeah, so I don't know of any. I definitely have a lot less like joint pain, and I can bend over and do a lot of things fine that I think kind of bothered me before. But no like nagging injuries that I solved or anything to that extent. But just overall, more energy and just much more productive with my day.
Well, that makes sense. Well, what I really look forward to is, you know, the day that you announce in the Facebook group that your new baby is here, I'm going to be looking for that.
Yes, I will make sure
and
I do that.
It should be right around the time that this podcast comes out.
Yes.
So, because we're recording it ahead of time. So right around the same time.
Yeah, it is. It does align with the same time. Yeah. So it'll be good timing.
Yeah. Like what's the actual due date?
July 12th.
Okay. And this podcast is slated to come out July 7th. So this is going to be really exciting. Also, July 7th is my wedding anniversary, just if anybody cares.
Oh, that's wonderful.
July 7th will be my 29th wedding anniversary. So it would be really fun if the new baby was born on July 7th. So I'm going to send that out into the universe.
Yeah. Well, I wrote that date down, so I will remember that date.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you're definitely going to be keeping us posted, which is going to be really exciting. And I look forward to all the photos and having you share those with us in the Facebook group.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So we are coming to the end of our time together. And I think we've gotten through so many important things here. But what would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Yeah. So obviously knew that question was coming, and I've given it a lot of thought. I would just say from the beginning, just to be patient, kind of like play the long game. Like I was talking about earlier, this is something you do for the rest of your life. And if you kind of messing up is even a bad way to put it. If you try to do an 18 hour fast and you have to eat at 16 hours, that's totally fine. Just do it and then try it the next day. And you'll see over time, if you look at it over the next couple years, you'll just start to get to where you want to get to. And just really, that's it. Just I'm a year and a half in, and I'm still learning things all the time. And you don't need to know all these different nuances. You really don't even need to know the lingo. You just need to not eat for a good amount of time and then eat in a condensed window and kind of let your body do the rest. So yeah, I would just say be patient and just be kind to yourself. If you're not able to do things right away, it does take some time. I mean, this is a skill that I look at like anything.
Oh yeah.
To really become a professional, it takes a while and it takes practice. So if you're not great at it at the beginning, it's really not a big deal. Just stick with it. That's what I would say.
Build up that fasting muscle.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Like couch to 5K. You're not like couch on day one, 5K on day two.
Yeah, exactly. Just look at it like any skill that you would want to acquire. You don't expect to do it the first week. It's going to take time. And even if you get off of it sometime, it's what you do most of the time that really counts for the long run. So yeah, that's what I would say. It's just be patient and you'll get there. You'll definitely get there if you stick with it.
Well, good stuff. Daniel, I have really enjoyed talking to you today, and I will be watching Facebook for all the news from you and your wife.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And thank you so much. It's surreal being on this podcast, but thank you just for having it. It's so great to listen to everybody's stories. It's just inspiring.
Well, I absolutely love doing it and am really, really happy that so many people are willing to come on and tell their story, because that just, even though we all have similarities, we all have differences, and that's what makes it such an important journey for us all.
Absolutely. And I just love that it's just regular people telling their story. That's the best part of it.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much, Daniel.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's jen@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.